You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening. I'm Al Voner, and this is The Public Eye. Nice to have you with us this Sunday evening. This is an election year, and many people are watching both parties posing their views and the remedies for helping the issues facing this country. But another issue that's very major is the growth, the size of government, the size of, as they say, public service. And a book came across my desk a couple of weeks ago that I thought was very fitting. It certainly fits in with everything that's going on. And I found it quite interesting and hope that you do too. In Defense of Public Service, How 22 Million Government Workers Will Save Our Republic. And the author is a gentleman who has spent 30 years in law enforcement, first and foremost, and also worked on the federal level. So he knows exactly what he's talking about, having, as they say, walk the walk. He is author and public speaker, Cedric Alexander. Cedric,
Hello, how are you, Al?
Nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me as well. Thank you.
You and I talked a little bit before the broadcast, and I didn't realize right off the bat. I mean, you know, when the book came across my desk, I said, this is just some guy wanting to defend public employees. And I'm sure you've heard this many times, more so than I have. You've probably even seen it in your career. I think many people want to serve the public. They go into this line of work, whether it's public safety, administration, whatever it may be, public works, to help help their community, help other people. But there's also a percentage, hopefully a small percentage, that get jobs that pay well, have pensions, and don't put their best foot forward. But in your book, I think you bypassed all of that and focused on the positive side. And I didn't realize 22 million people are gainfully employed as public employees. Is that correct?
That is correct. And at all various levels of our government as well, too. And because when I speak of 22 million employees are going to be the one who save our republic, I'm speaking specifically, Al, to the 22 million employees out there who provide a service to this country every day. They work at the federal level, the state level, the local level, across our government. There are our firefighters. Of course, there are police officers. There's the guy and the women who give us and track national weather situations from hurricanes to tornadoes. There are our federal agents. There are our intelligence bureau at all levels of government. And it's also our military included in that number.
Finish.
And those are the 22 million people that keep this country going for us every day. So in spite of what it is that we may experience, in spite of what we may have concerns about in our own elected officials who are at the federal level, or state level, or local level, one thing is for certain. It is those 22 million people who are waking up this morning as we speak, or who are going to work this evening, coming home from work this evening. There are all those people out there who keep our government, keep our cities, keep our towns, keep our country safe, and protect us and provide a service that make this nation the great nation in which it is.
I think more so, and I'm glad you alluded to it, more so than anything else. I know growing up as a baby boomer, obviously didn't serve in World War II, was a little too young for that, but had family members that did. There was such pride and respect for those who came back from World War II. And then we came into the tumultuous 60s and 70s. And there was a lot of disdain, there was a lot of distrust at all levels, as you talked about, from the federal level all the way down to your local towns and your local communities and cities and whatnot. And then things like 9/11, and then first responders, school shootings, mass shootings. It came back into focus where people, and I think I'm glad you talked about this, shed light on the fact that, think about it. These people were on the front lines while we were all sleeping. These people were the first responders. These were the people that, in spite of the loss of lives in many, many cases, made sure that that didn't become worse than what it was. So I think there's a renewed respect for law enforcement, and I think there's a renewed respect certainly for our veterans who've gone over to the Middle East or wherever there has been a threat to our security and to our way of life. I guess if I had to point my finger at anybody, and again, you and I, we kind of joked about it earlier, I would think about, why aren't my streets in better condition? Why do I have potholes? Or why isn't my rubbish picked up at the same time every week? But that's pretty petty, isn't it, Cedric, as opposed to the bigger picture?
Well, over the years, and being a baby boomer myself, and I've been around long enough, like you, Al, to have gone through a number of transitions or witnessed our own country go through a number of transitions even in our lifetime. And even going back to the Vietnam War, you're right. I remember growing up in Pensacola, Florida, and veterans coming home and watching the national news and see a denouncement of soldiers who were called all kinds of horrible names who have gone out to protect their country that they took a sworn oath to do. But we made it through that era in time, and we became a better nation as a result of those men and women who went out and gave their lives in Vietnam, who served this country heroically, and who came back to this country and made lives for themselves and others who struggled as a result of PTSD, as a result of being warriors. But we as a nation always will stand up, even in some of our most darkest moments and darkest hours. We find our center again, and we come back around. If we look at our soldiers that's been embarked in this conflict, this war since 2001, we see now a nation that stands strongly and heroically with our men and women who are giving their all to keep this country and to keep this planet safe. Because we know that terrorism doesn't just strike here on the homeland. It also affects our allies. And when we have men and women who serve, both in our militaries and those who serve in a variety of different places in public government, whether at the federal, state, or local level, their willingness to be patriots, to be loyal, to be good Americans, and they're not doing it just for the paychecks. They're doing it from the depths of their hearts. And let me tell you something, Al. I was in public safety for over 40 years and starting my career in 1977 and just retiring a year ago. And over the course of those 40 years of being directly involved in law enforcement as a chief in two major cities in this country, running a federal agency at TSA in Dallas, and a host of other positions, I've seen the very best of what our public servants give this nation every day, every day. And we can never pay them enough. We can never applaud them enough, because they're the ones who keep our nation going. They keep the lights on. They keep us protected when they sleep. And they allow us the opportunity to be Americans and to live in freedom. Those are the 22 million people I'm referring to. And I love all of them. And I tell you, all of us as Americans should applaud them. And what this book is about, it's about them. It's about their sacrifice. It's about them not being paid the most amount of money in the world, but giving everything that they got in order to keep us safe. The men and women who keep our roads clean, those who take snow off the road. Here again, those in a variety of capacities. And wherever you are, and regardless of whatever work you do, if you work for the federal government, a local government, a state government, or even if you're in private industry that provides some contract support to keep our nation safe or to provide some service to our cities and communities across this country, you're doing a tremendous job, and we need to acknowledge these people. And we need to understand the history of public service in this nation, where it has been, where it is now, and where we're seeing going in the future. because these 22 million Americans are truly the ones, Al, that give us the spirit of a democracy and reminds us that we live in a republic government, and they keep things going for us every day.
Cedric, let me ask you, and I agree with that. I think most, by and large, I think most people would. And the experiences, and we've learned, as I pointed out, and you pointed out, the conflicts that this country has been engaged in, and the principles that we have stood for, whether you believe in it 100% or not, these people have kept us safe. But let me ask you, when you have such discourse, and it's nothing new. This has been going on since you and I have been born, and long before that. But right now, it's because of the 24/7 news cycles. Instant news comes through our phones, through our televisions today. So much discourse. The Democrats want to impeach the president. The president is pushing back against the Democrats. It's an election year. There's a lot at stake here. Do the politicians spoil it for all those unsung heroes that you talk about?
Well, let's consider this. We live in a government, in a republic, where we're going to have elected officials. That's part of us living in a republic and living in a democracy that makes us a free country. We have the opportunity to elect those to represent our communities and our states and our country. And even in this place of what appears to be hyper-partisanship that is going on from one side of the aisle to the other, whether you're on the right or the left, it really does not matter. And even in their going back and forth and their bickering and their disagreement and their sometimes inability to get on the same page to get things resolved for the American people, even in those moments when we all get frustrated and pound our heads against the wall and say, hey, you guys really need to get it together up there in Washington on both sides of the aisle, or in our state government, or even our local governments. But at the end of the day, they are elected officials. And whether their term is 2 years, 4 years, or 8 years, it really do not matter. The glue that holds us together, Al, are those public servants, those civil servant employees, those people who come to work every day who are nonpartisan. Yes, they may vote Republican or Democrat or Independent, but within the context and the framework of doing their jobs, they don't think about their jobs that way. For an example, let's take our intelligence officers who are public servants, who are right now out there keeping an eye on us around the globe. In the work that they do, it doesn't matter who's the president of the United States or who's the governor of your state or the mayor of your city. Their job is very clear and it's very understandable to them. They understand one thing. My job is to keep the nation safe. I'm not keeping it safe for Republicans. I'm not keeping it safe for Democrats. I'm not keeping it safe for independents. I'm keeping it safe for America and for our allies. And that's the key right there. When we talk about 22 million public servants, we're not talking about elected officials who come and go. We're talking about those public servants who are employees in those local, state, and federal governments who provide to us 24 hours of service, and they do it in a nonpartisan way. And when they go vote, as we all have the right to do, they vote however they choose, but within the context of their jobs, they only see one thing, and that's to do what they've been trained to do and to serve diligently and to do it as an American, because they are serving the country, not just a party, but a country. So hopefully, as time continues to progress, our government, both sides of the aisle, will find a way to the middle and work out whatever their differences are. But in the meantime, my focus, our focus, should be on those 22 million people who keep us going and keep this country going every day, regardless who our leaders may have to be at a local, state, or federal level.
I want to talk a little bit about some of those, as you said, those 22 million, those unsung, those people who don't have the national exposure that the politicians do. But I just want to take a quick pause, let folks know that they're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. My guest this week is author and a man who has spent the vast amount of his career in public service, especially public safety, Cedric Alexander, the author of the new book, In Defense of Public Service, How 22 Million Government Workers Will Save Our Republic. And Cedric, I got to say, as I'm listening to you this evening, there's a real spark of somebody who has worked alongside people from all levels, especially in the public safety realm. But more importantly, some people say, well, you would think after 40 years, the guy would be bitter and he's seen so many hacks come through. And I'm sure you've seen some of that. I'm sure you've had to deal with some of that. But what I'm impressed by, and you point this out in your book quite clearly, is the fact that you hold in your eyes the high regard, as you said, for the people. Just recently, I just read a story locally about an off-duty police woman who happened to see a crime starting, and she was off the clock. She could have easily just said, hey, look, I'm off the clock. Let somebody else worry. I'll call in, but I'm not going to get myself involved in that. She was on her own time, doing some grocery shopping, jumped right in and stopped what could have been, a tragic incident. And wasn't looking for a medal, wasn't looking for any accolades, just as you said, doing what she had been trained to do instinctfully. And let me ask, so with that said, Cedric, do you have to be born to want to do that? Or does it just come about as you progress through your career?
We are all born blank slates, and we certainly may be born with certain genetic traits that we would get from our parents, but we all are born a blank slate. Where we learn loyalty, where we learn patriotism, where we learn hard work is from our environment. It either comes from the homes we grew up with or the communities we grew up in or people we were around. And all of our situations are very, very different. But at the end of the day, we learned or we adopted and adapted a quality to serve mankind. I'm going to give you a good example. If you remember a couple of years ago, we went through a national shutdown in this country at the federal level. And we saw a number of federal employees laid off work.
Right.
And this is a chapter in the book entitled Shutdown. And in there, I speak very forwardly and candidly about the courage of these men and women who, even without paychecks, whether they worked for the National Weather Service, whether they worked as your transportation security officers at airport checkpoints across this country, whether they worked in our Coast Guard, whether they worked in our federal law enforcement, wherever they may have worked, for weeks these men and women went without a salary. And for weeks, Al, these men and women still serve diligently every day. Every day, our air traffic controllers, everything that touches our lives that we see in people who work in jobs that are public servants that we don't see, these people kept it going every day. And even when they were on the fringe, and you remember these reports from your nightly news, even when they were on the fringe of not having a paycheck, of being able to pay their mortgage, or put food on their table, the American people came to their support and rescue and provided food and provided services for them as this country was going through that unfortunate time. These are the 22 million people, Al, that keep our country going every day. Even when they're not getting a paycheck, they come to work, they hold their heads up, whatever they're feeling inside, they keep to themselves. But they know in order to keep this nation safe, to keep their state safe, to keep their local communities safe, because every part of this country is impacted by that shutdown, right down to our Forest Service, where we had to close the national park. But everyone did what they needed to do, and that is the spirit. That is the spirit of people, of Americans in this nation who believe in this nation, who believe in each other, who believe in a democracy and in a republic. Those are the ones that this book is about. And the work that they do from the beginning up until this very moment.
Cedric, because you worked so closely with so many of these people and you saw the good, the bad, and more the good, as you said, you saw people rise to the occasion. We saw that as a nation with 9/11. We saw that when there's mass shootings. We see that when there's natural disasters. But let me ask you, by and large, I mean, today we have, you know, the public, many of us have short memories because of so much information. We're inundated with information that, you know, information overload, as they say. Does the average American have that, you know, the same fervent respect that you have? I mean, do you feel deeply in your heart that most Americans, when push comes to shove, do realize that these 22 million that you talk about, you know, in your new book, in defense of public service, make a big difference in our lives? Does the public recognize that?
You know, a lot of information, Al, is coming to us all the time on a 24-hour cycle. We live in a very technologically advanced society, and it's becoming more and more technologically advanced. News is coming up at us at a much greater speed. What's hot today is cold tomorrow. What's trendy today is out of touch tomorrow. But here's something that never changes. Here's the one common denominator that I truly believe that all of us possess, regardless whether you are a baby boomer, Generation X, Generation Y, young millennial. And at the end of the day, for all of us in this nation, but every day, John Doe or Susan Doe, for all of us, one thing that we have and we share in common is the ability to interact with people who are around us, to be able to have a personal contact with people at work, people in our families, people in our communities and neighborhood. And even though we may walk around this with this device that we refer to as a cell phone, where we can do everything from catch the latest in the news to pay our bills, or do whatever we need to do, it's that personal contact. It's people who are able to communicate with each other. And even though these may be new modern modes of communication through messaging or through texting or through email or whatever, we're still communicating with each other. We still are in contact with each other. And when something tragically happens in this nation, whether it is a school shooting or mall shooting or some horrible weather condition that wrecks a part of our nation, notice how we all come together. Notice how quickly we all bond together. And oftentimes we talk about millennials and their inability to communicate because they're so tied to their cell phone. Well, it's the young millennials, too, that are part of these 22 million.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are coming out of our colleges and universities and public schools and private schools every day, who become a part of the workforce, who have been using technology ever since they've been in the first grade. This is stuff that's still new to you and I, Al. But they've been utilizing that technology from the beginning. Yes, maybe the way that they communicate is very different than you and I. You and I would probably rather get on the phone and talk while other people may want to text across the room.
Right.
But here's what's essentially important. They are communicating. And when things jump off, when something happens, we see our young people, we see our old people, we see everybody come together and to support each other and to be there for each other. If we think about, even in recent years, some of the most inclement, horrible weather conditions, if we've seen cities like Houston's and others go underground with water, and how we saw American people come to each other's rescue and aid. Nobody asks whether they're a Republican, a Democrat, or an Independent. Nobody asks those questions. Nobody determines whether they're male or female, or white or black, whether they're going to help each other. Everybody jumps in. That's the spirit of this nation.
Right.
And even though we may fight inwardly many times, but you don't try to fight us or any of us because we all come together. And I think that it is a tribute to this country. I think it's a tribute to what we have experienced and what we have gone through. We've gone through women's suffrage. We've gone through slavery. We've gone through civil rights as we were recently have celebrated Martin Luther King. So as a nation, we've gone through a lot. But also as a nation, we are still in progress, and we still are working through. But every day in this nation, all of us, regardless of who we are, where we live, we all have the ability to come together through a different number of communication models or platforms to be able to join and to keep our nation and to keep our country safe. And that's something we're all able to do regardless of where we've been or where we're going. And that's what makes us Americans and patriots.
I just want
22 million who they are along with the rest of this great nation.
And as Cedric has been talking about, we've only got a couple of minutes left. I just want to quickly wrap up with this, is the fact that of those 22 million, many are poised to retire or eventually will retire. And there has to be replacement, and is alluding to that even younger generations, those who have been tied to their cell phones, as Cedric has said, are being the replacement, for the past generations, filling those positions in the military, at the public safety, at the local level, our postal workers, our police departments, our fire departments, our public safety departments, public works departments all across the nation. And the book In Defense of Public Service has certainly highlighted the work that those men and women from all ages, from all different backgrounds, and I'm glad that Cedric also pointed out that it doesn't matter where you came from, how much education you had, what color your skin is. The fact of the matter is that you stepped up to the plate in defense of loving your country and your fellow man. Cedric, real quick, we only got a couple of minutes, less than a minute left. If people want to get more information about you, where you may be speaking, the book itself, can they reach out to you directly?
Yeah, C.L. Alexander Consulting Group, C.L. Alexander Consulting Group.com is my website. Also, for speaking engagements, you can go to that website and you'll be able to find, or if you want to book me for a speaking engagement, you'll find a tab there as well, too. And my agent is Robin Wolfson, Wolfson. You can find her online as well. And of course, my Twitter is C Alex, C-A-L-E-X underscore law, L-A-W, is my Twitter handle. And I want to thank you, Al, for the opportunity to be on and talk to your wonderful guest this morning. And I would encourage everyone to go out, download, get a copy of the book so that you can read for yourself some very interesting information as it relates to those who serve us so well, and many of those will be the people who are listening to your program. So thank you for the opportunity to be here with you.
And as Cedric has said real quickly, folks, just look out your window. The person delivering your mail this morning, the person who may be filling your pothole later on this afternoon or plowing the streets this weekend, especially up here in New England, those are the people that Cedric has been talking about in his new book, In Defense of Public Service. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org, or just go to our safe and secure website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can see the multitude of shows and programming that we're very proud of that we do here at WICN. That's at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona.